Oh, hey, how's it going? By the way, have you seen Beverly's new post on Instagram? She looks great. Didn't she just have a baby like 3 months ago? That barre class is really working for her. Yeah, Beverly is hashtag winning. Even her kids are really well behaved. But don't worry, I'm sure your little Johnny will stop assaulting the pediatrician one day. Oh, and while we're here, go ahead and click that link to her husband's profile and let your hubby have a look. I don't know how many hours a day this guy has to work out, but he looks like he could deadlift a truck. Well, speaking of truck, I bet you didn't think that they could lift an F-150 19 inches. But there it is. Man, I bet those tires alone are worth more than your whole car. And what does he do to afford that truck again? Oh, that's right. He was telling you at the Christmas party how he started that company with some buddies in college. And then they sold it for like $1 billion, and now he runs a highly lucrative travel blog. What a life, right? Now look, you could spend a lot of energy thinking about all the reasons you have to be grateful. Your loving spouse, your adoring children, your health, you're gonna make me sick. I'm jealousy, and I propose a different solution. You need to better yourself. And you can't better yourself unless you compare yourself to people who are better than yourself. It's science. Don't argue. So let's keep scrolling up and see how the other side, the better side, lives. And then your heart will be filled with, well, me.
Let's keep scrolling up to see how the other side, the better side, lives. Aren't you glad you came to CCV to get some great advice today, how to live your life? Yeah, hey, I want to start by just, I want to say a special welcome to all of you that may be new to CCV. It's an incredible honor on every single one of our campuses that you'd be here this weekend. And just to catch you up to speed, to catch all of us up to speed, really, where we're at is we're in week 3 of a series we've been in called Smooth Criminals. And what we're doing in this series is we're looking at 4 really sneaky things that have a tendency to get lodged in our hearts. And when they do, and they have a tendency to do this to all of us, they cause havoc and more destruction than we could ever, ever imagine. And the problem we're just discovering together is that most of us didn't learn how to kind of clean or strip these things out of our hearts. And the reason why is because most of us grew up in our childhood, into adulthood, focused on this. We were focused on behavior modification versus this idea of heart transformation, kind of watching, guarding, cleaning out our hearts. And the reason we are so focused on behavior modification, me as well, is we just learned so well to filter our behavior, filter the negative thoughts, the negative emotions, the negative behaviors. And the reason we learned to filter so well is because, well, it didn't take too long for us to understand there's going to be some consequences, and we wanted to kind of avoid the consequences, so we just learned to filter. Now, I don't know how maybe you your parents parented you, kind of discipline and consequences they gave you. Let me just ask all of our campuses, just kind of vote with your hands here. How many of you, your parents' primary form of discipline was they grounded you? You got grounded. Anybody get grounded out there? Okay. How many of you got something taken away? You got a toy taken away? You got something taken away of value? That was their primary form. Great. Not my parents. All right? They did some of that. My parents were primarily spankers. Okay. Anybody else out there? I mean, yeah, wow, okay. You can feel my pain, okay? Now, you may have a hard time believing this, but if my mom was here, you could ask her. I promise you she'd tell you it was true. I was a terrible, terrible child. Like, I got spanked all the time. As a matter of fact, I went to an elementary school where the teachers and the principals were allowed to spank kids. That was like the worst discipline you could get at school was you get spanked. Now, some kids lead their class in GPA. I led my class in number of spankings, okay, growing up. I really did. I got spanked almost every single year in school up until the 4th grade. And in the 4th grade, everything changed in my life. And here's what happened. In the 4th grade, I got spanked by Mr. Taylor. Now, Mr. Taylor, my 4th grade teacher, he had a paddle that he used that he had holes in the paddles, he said, so he could aerodynamically swing it faster. And Mr. Taylor, you ready for this? Was 7 feet tall. And here's what some of you are thinking, because it's what my wife said out loud the first time I ever told her the story. She's like, really? 7 feet tall? I mean, you're in fourth grade. You're just over-exaggerating. So I had to show her the picture I'm going to show you right now. This is a picture, the actual picture of my fourth grade class right here, okay? This is my fourth grade class. Now, what you can't maybe see is that these kids are on three rows of risers, okay? So these kids are on the third row of risers. They're standing on the third row. Mr. Taylor's feet are on the ground, okay? He's skying over every fourth grader. This is me in the jean jacket right here, okay? And this poor girl that got her face scratched out right here by me, that's because we thought she had cooties, okay? And that's why we scratched her face out. I'm telling you, I was a terrible child. I was. And when you get spanked by a 7-foot giant that has holes in his paddle, it changes things, okay? So I got really good after that of filtering. I didn't get a spanking after that year, all right? But I got good at filtering, and so did you, right? We all did. I mean, and we took this into adulthood, right? We filter our negative emotions and behaviors in work, in our friendships, in our family, with our kids, with our spouse. And by the way, filtering your behavior is not all bad. It's just, here's what we learned week one of the series. And if you missed week one, I want you to go back and watch it. We learned that filtering your behavior is actually a terrible, terrible long-term strategy. And here's why. Every filter is designed to break down. Every filter. Now, I want to give you an example. This is a filter that would, like an air conditioning filter that you would use in your home, right? This filter is designed to take all the grime, all the dirt, all the junk, and keep it from getting inside your house. And on its best day, this is what your filter looks like. Any of you ever forget to change your filter? Some of you are thinking right now, oh no. Right, you haven't figured in a long time. Any of you ever got it and it looks something like this? This is an actual filter for someone on our staff, and he brought it in for me. He said, I forgot to change it for 9 months. Wow. That happens to us as well. But listen, it doesn't matter right now if you think your filter's clean or dirty. Did you know even the cleanest filter, the best filter on the market today, you can read the package, it only filters out about 90% of the grime and dirt that you're trying to keep out of your house. So filtering's not, it's just not the best long-term solution. And I think this is a great example of what happens in our lives, because we develop filters in our life, right? We have all these sophisticated filters to try to keep out all the negative emotions, all the negative junk, the negative thoughts, right? And then all of a sudden, what happens at some point is we're trying to keep all this stuff out, and then something just, boop, it slips through, and we go, whoa! You blow up at your spouse. You blow up at your kids. You do something at work that everyone's like, whoa! And we make excuses when this happens. We say things like this. Remember, we say things, oops, that's not like me. Or, hey, I'm not normally like that because I'm filtering all the time, so just give me a break. Wow, where did that come from? And we ask, where did it come from? And you remember this? Jesus is going, I know. I know exactly where it came from. Remember, Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said it so clearly. Everything that comes out of you comes from something in your heart. This is how the book of Proverbs puts it. And I think this is so clear. It says this, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. The wisest man on earth said this, above all else, don't just guard your behavior. Guard what? What are we supposed to guard? Your heart. Why? For everything you do, it can't be more clear than that. Everything you do flows from what's in your heart. And we want to push back. No, 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 no. That little blip, that little blow up, there's nothing wrong with my heart. That was just a little slip. And Jesus is going, I know you think that because you have this great filter that you've developed. But listen, every slip is not the exception like we think. It's a reflection of what's in your heart. So we have to learn to monitor and guard our hearts. And that's why what we're doing in this series, I can't even over-exaggerate how important what we're doing in this series is, because we're learning maybe a new skill set for some of us. We're learning to monitor and see what's in our heart and then learn how to clean and guard our hearts, for it's the wellspring of your life. Now, last week we looked at the first smooth criminal that has a tendency to get in our hearts, and that's guilt. Today I want to talk to you about the second, and that's this. It's jealousy. Now, just so we're on the same page of what jealousy is, here's just a basic definition of jealousy. Jealousy is being discontent and or bitter because someone has something I don't. And I want to tell you this up front. I think of all the four smooth criminals we'll talk about in this series, I think jealousy is the hardest one to admit. It's hard. So I want to talk just a few minutes about a few reasons why I think jealousy is such a destructive smooth criminal. If you're taking notes, here's number one. Jealousy seems childish, so we disguise it, and man, we ignore it. Here's what I mean. It just seems so childish, right? I mean, jealousy is like, that's something that only five-year-olds struggle with, or at least you should get over it by middle school, at the latest high school. But as an adult, I mean, it seems so petty. Like, you know, we don't want to admit that we're jealous. For example, as a pastor, I'm telling you, I've had people admit almost anything you could think of to me as a pastor. I've had people admit, I'm angry. I struggle with anger. I have so much guilt, and they tell me something in their past. They would say, I struggle with lust. People would say, I think I'm greedy. I'm materialistic. I am. In all my life as a pastor, I have never once had someone admit to me, you know what I think my problem is? I'm jealous. And yet, I think we struggle more with jealousy today than at any time in human history. You want to know why? You know the reason why. Social media. See, jealousy sometimes is driven by awareness of what other people have, and we're more aware than ever. And yet we don't want to admit it because jealousy is so deceptive, and it wants to disguise itself in your life. So it disguises itself. And so instead of saying, hey, I think I might be jealous, we say things like this. I don't like them. Why? They're just too nice. Too nice? Yeah, she's too pretty. Okay, she just seems fake. Or we say things like this. You see that guy? I mean, look at him. He works out all the time. He's all ripped. He's insecure. We say like this. Look at that guy's truck. It's so big. He has little man's disease probably, right? We say something like that. I mean, we say things like this. We don't want to call it jealousy. We just say this. It's not fair. I worked just as hard as they did, and I should have got the promotion. I should have got that opportunity. Or, hey, we've all said something like this. If I had that much money, I sure wouldn't have spent it like that. We just couch it. We say, look at all that waste. Look what they did. Look what they're doing. I wouldn't do it. I would have been a better steward. Could it be that all these things that kind of come out of us that we say, could it be that it's just a disguise for jealousy in our hearts? You say this, okay, well, so what? I mean, maybe I'm a little jealous. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, jealousy is not like every other sin. I mean, how much harm can jealousy actually cause? I mean, come on, it's just kind of petty. And that's exactly what jealousy would want you to believe. You know, I've seen jealousy destroy marriages. I've seen a spouse compare their spouse to someone else, and it's destructive. I've seen kids that struggle with anxiety and even eating disorders growing up. And what their parents and others didn't realize is it's because they were being compared all the time because of jealousy to somebody else. Some of you right now are in so much debt. I mean, it's crippling you. And you don't realize that jealousy is the root issue that's taken hold, that's driven you to that debt. You make other excuses, but I'm telling you, as long as you ignore and allow jealousy to disguise itself in your life, it will begin to destroy everything you love and everything about you. Which is why, point number two is this. When ignored, jealousy sucks the joy out of your life. One of my heroes, Billy Graham, put it this way. He said this. This is so good. He said, I defy you to show me an envious man who is happy. I think he's right. The Bible would put it this way. James chapter 3, verse 16 says this. For wherever, you know, there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Can you believe that? I mean, when I first read that, I literally just stared at that verse for a little bit. Here's what it's saying. Any sort of disorder in your life, any kind of evil of any kind that you're experiencing in your life that comes out of you or around you, do you understand the root of it could be? It just could be jealousy. Wow. Probably my favorite verse in scripture on jealousy comes from the book of Proverbs, and because I think this is so descriptive. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says this, "A heart at peace gives life to the body." Isn't that what you want? Don't you want a life of peace and happiness? I do. Listen to what it says next. "But envy rots the bones." Will you say that out loud with me? Because I want you to hear yourself say this to understand what envy does. Will you say this line with me, everybody? "But envy rots the bones." Some translations put it like this. They say that envy is like a cancer that affects the whole body. Envy will rot and destroy everything in your life. Can I ask you? Do you ever wake up unhappy? Are you just unhappy with your life? Do you find yourself just really discontent all the time with what you have? Do you feel sorry for yourself a lot? What if underneath it all was disguised and lodged in your heart jealousy? You'd say, well, oh gosh, I mean, I can't think of anybody I'm jealous of. I mean, I don't think I struggle with this. If you can't think of anybody you're jealous of, I'm going to help you, okay? And I'm going to ask you a question that I think surfaces who you're jealous of in your life more than any other question, and I want to tell you, I hate this question. I hate it because I ask it of myself, and I hate what it reveals inside of me. But I think we have to ask ourselves this question. Here's the question. You ready? Who would you secretly like to see fail? Who would you secretly not mind if they got knocked down a rung or two? Do you have somebody? Now, you're going to make excuses. Ah, it's because I don't like them. No, 95% of the time, this question actually reveals jealousy in your heart. Who you're jealous of. And this is where I'm going to take the conversation about a lot deeper. I'm going to take it so much deeper, but I think we have to go here because I want to get to the root. I want to get to a solution for jealousy since I've so obviously conquered this in my own life. I'm telling you, this isn't, as a preacher, you got to understand, this is something I deal with all the time. But we got to get deeper. So number three, here's where we're going to go. Jealousy cons us into missing what the root problem is. I'm telling you, jealousy's a con. We miss what the root is. You know what we think the root problem is with jealousy? We think it's the other person we're jealous of. And so we think this, well, I'll just distance myself from them. I just won't hang out with them. I'll stop following them on social media, and that'll solve my problem. Guess what? Here's why I know that that other person is not the problem with your jealousy. You want to know why? Because that other person actually can't solve your problem. What's the only thing they could do to help you with your jealousy? What's the only thing they can do? Think about this. Fail. Oh, they didn't get that promotion. They lost their job. Oh, no. Did you see her in a bathing suit this summer? I think she gained a few pounds. Bummer. Oh, their kids didn't make the team. Oh, I feel... Isn't this the dirty grime of jealousy? Isn't this the thing that just kind of reveals the slime? When someone else fails, I mean, it boils something in me that's actually happy about it. And here's why I know that jealousy is not a people issue. Because even if that person failed, even if you got more, even if you could fit into that size, whatever, even if you got that new promotion, even if you got that truck or that house or whatever, do you understand it would not solve your jealousy? Here's why. There's always a bigger fish. There's always someone that you'll move on to and compare yourself now and get jealous of them. For example, I'd say this. It doesn't matter how nice you have, there's always someone with nicer. Hey, you can feel thin all you want. There's always someone thinner. Your kids, oh, they're smart. There will always be a kid that's smarter than your kid. Oh, I got some wealth. I've got the promotion. We got the new home. I'm feeling good. Nope, there's always someone wealthier, which means it does not matter how good your life is. There is always, 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 always someone that has it better. See, jealousy is not a people or a circumstance issue. Jealousy is a heart issue. So you know what the real root issue of jealousy is? Here's what you're thinking. Oh, maybe it's me. I just need to be more content. And that's a big part of it, but it's so much deeper than that. It's a different relationship that's gone bad. And I want to illustrate this for you. I'm going to take a little bit of a risk. I saw this illustrated one time, and so, hey, this is not staged. I'm literally just going to help illustrate this for you in a different way. So right now, I just want to ask, how many Cardinals fans do I have in the house? If you're a Cardinals fan, raise your hand right now. Just don't be ashamed, okay? How many of you would, like, love to go to a game? Like, you'd love to go to a Cardinals game coming up soon. Like, raise your hand if you'd love to go to a Cardinals fan game. All right. We're going to choose a few of you to join me on stage, and I'm just going to do a quick exercise, okay? So can we I have a couple people helping me. They're going to put some name tags on so I don't forget names. So can we welcome those people to the stage right now? Yeah, all right. Good job. Come on up. Got a few volunteers coming. Some of you know why I'm playing this song right now. So, all right, we got a few. I got some gifts I'm going to give out here. All right. I think they're coming. Here we go. Yeah. Welcome. Who do we have here? It's Philip. Philip, come on over, man. Grab us. Jamie. Hi, Jamie. How are you? Good. Come on up. We got one more, maybe. I think this is maybe it. Okay. We got two of us. All right. Philip and Jamie. Let's see. Here's what I'm going to do. I would like to, you guys are both Cardinals fans. Oh, we got one more. Hey, there he is. Come on up. There he is. Robert, how you doing, man? You even have the Cardinals jersey on. That's awesome. All right. So I'm gonna give out some gifts, all right? And I because they're brave, they're Cardinals fans, I'd like to just give out some gifts. So what I want to do is I'm going to give this to you, Philip. That's your gift. And I'm going to give this to, let's see, I'm going to give this to Jamie. And I'm going to give this one to Robert. I'm going to give that to you, okay? So these are just gifts I want to give you. And so, Philip, go and open your gift. Just show everybody what you got. Open it up. Be proud of it. Philip's actually getting 4 Arizona tickets to the Arizona Cardinals game on October 28th versus the Niners. So congrats, man. Congrats. Yeah. Parking pass in there. You bet, buddy. Hey, you said you love. Jamie, you love the Cardinals. Go ahead and open yours up, okay? See what you got. Gift card, which will help with the Cardinals. And we got an actual Larry Fitzgerald jersey. Jamie, that's awesome. Robert, you go ahead, open yours up. Show them, be proud. Show them what you got. Show them what you got. A baby Seahawks jersey. No, this is actually really nice. It's an NFL, it's official NFL branded. That'll look really good on you, man. So, all right. Now, hey, having some fun, but listen, isn't this a little bit like real life? It's a little bit like real life. Each of us gets kind of different gifts, different things in life divvied out to us. And here's the thing. If you strip me out of this equation, if you strip me out of it, if they met each other on the street and began to look at what each other has, they could easily get. So, I mean, you know, we got poor Robert's got to, like, realize, like, I got this junky Seahawks jersey, and I got to compare it now to, like, Jamie. And Jamie's going, I got a jersey. That's kind of nice. But she might say, I don't know. Philip got the tickets. I mean, they could easily start getting jealous here, right? But if any three of these in this scenario, okay, if any three of these has any issue with what they got, who do they need to take it up with? It's not a trick question. Who do they need to take it up with? Me. Because I'm the one who gave out the gifts. I mean, how silly would it be for Jamie to get really upset at Philip when I'm the one who gave her the gifts? And how I mean, Robert, he's got to sit down the whole rest of the service and sulk over the fact that he got this junkie. But if he's got a problem, how silly would it be to get mad at these two when I'm the one who actually gave it to him? Now, it's worse. Some of you are thinking this. You should have at least given the tickets to Jamie. She's the female. But I didn't. And I'm not going to. Okay? Now here's what some of you, no, it's worse. Some of you on some of the campuses were like, I'd like to go. And then you realized, no one's on my campus giving out anything. You got gypped. But if you have a problem, if you have a problem with anything, if you have a problem with any what anybody got, who do you need to take it up with? Me. Now let's thank everyone for playing along. Thank you guys. Those are yours. No, you get to keep this, man. This is your gift, buddy. It's your gift. Take it on. Good job. Yeah, so it's yours. Yep, that's your guys'. Thanks for playing along, guys. Good job. Thank you so much. All right, give me a hand one more time. Now, here's what some of you are still thinking. You're thinking this. There is no way a pastor is going to allow that guy to go home with that little jersey. And he's probably going to slip him some tickets after the service because that would be fair. And I'm not going to. I'm not. And if you have a problem with it, you got to take it up with me. You got to take it up with me. Now listen, here's the point. This is going to be so big for some of us today. When you find yourself jealous of somebody else, do you know who your real issue is with? God. Because God is the one who divvies out different gifts, different abilities, different opportunities. You've never thought about it that way, but until you get this one fact lodged in your mind and your heart, you will never be able to slay the issue of jealousy in your life. See, I love how Andy Stanley puts it. He says this, the root of jealousy is the idea that God owes me. God owes me. I mean, God could have given you that body type. God could have given you that metabolism. God could have given you those opportunities that came along their way. God could have given you that ability. God could have given you the athletic talent. God could have had you born into a different family. God could have given you a different marriage. God could have given you different kids. So if you have a problem, listen, this is so big. If you have a problem, you got to take it up with God because God distributes different gifts. And guess what? He does it unevenly. Let me say it a little different way. This will hit. God distributes different gifts and he doesn't do it fairly. Can I show you a couple of verses that I think make this really, really clear? In the book of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the spiritual gifts that God gives all of us. He gives each of us different gifts. And it says this, in his grace, God has given all of us, say it out loud, different gifts for doing certain things well. God divvies out different gifts. And then in the book of 1 Corinthians, talking about these exact same gifts, it says this, and he distributes them, God distributes them to each one just as he determines. Book of Daniel is really descriptive for me. We're going to do a whole series on Daniel next year. But Daniel chapter 4 says this, talking about God. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand and say to him, what have you done? What have you done? Why didn't you give me what you gave them? God, why didn't you give me that? That's what you're feeling when you feel jealous. You've just maybe never thought about it that way. So if you have an issue with jealousy with somebody else, you actually have to take it up with God. And you're thinking, can I do that? Can I go before God and go, God, I'm mad. I think you ripped me off. I mean, maybe I'll get struck by lightning. Listen, if you're going to get struck by lightning, you've done enough things in your life. You would have already happened by now, okay? But of course you can go before God. God would love to have... God's been waiting to have that conversation with some of you. He's been dying to have that conversation with you. You want to know why? Because when you go before God and you reveal just some jealousy in your heart, he's going to want to whisper back. It's probably going to be a whisper in your ear. I didn't make you like them for a reason. I made you uniquely you. And as long as you keep looking at other people and comparing yourself and letting jealousy in your heart, do you understand that you will miss out on all the gifts and how God made you? It's worse. You'll start mistreating other people simply because God didn't give you what he gave them. And you're going to mistreat them and hurt them. David said this in Psalms. I love this. David said this about God. He said, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb. God, you're the one who formed me exactly how you wanted me to be. And I praise you for that, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Did you know that you, right there, you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Did you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Did you know back here, you're fearfully and wonderfully made? And right here, God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. Which means you should, the only person you should ever compare yourself to is the person you were yesterday. Nobody else. You see, this is something I hope just gets lodged in your heart and mind. It's a big idea today. Every minute you spend wishing you had someone else's life is a minute spent wasting yours. It's been said that flowers don't compare themselves to the flower next to them. They just bloom. And some of you are not blooming in life right now. And the reason why is because you've let jealousy get in your heart. Could it be that jealousy's there? Can I probe one last time? Are you allowing what others have to keep you from enjoying what you have? They have 10-foot ceilings, and you walk in your house and feel like you have to duck because you have 9-foot ceilings. Oh. Are you not enjoying what you have? How about this? Does someone in your life, a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, feel like a failure because you're continually comparing them to somebody else? Do you know the easiest way to kill something that you love? Compare it to something else. How about this? Do you actually enjoy your kids? Or are you driving them crazy because of jealousy? You're comparing them all the time to others. Do you understand? There are couples at our church that would love to have your child because they can't have kids. You'd say, "I've never thought of that before." I know, it's because jealousy, when it gets in your heart, it clouds everything around you from viewing life and the goodness that God has given you, exactly how he made you. Do you want to clean your heart of jealousy? You want to strip jealousy out of your heart? I'm going to give you 3 suggestions today. If you're taking notes, here's number 1. First, you have to identify who you're jealous of, and you have to be honest. You have to be dead honest. Like, you're only as good as you are honest. And this might be the hardest step. You have to say, "You know what? That question, who would I not mind seeing knocked down a little bit? You know what? I'm just going to admit. It's because I have a little jealousy in me. I'm actually jealous." Identify who that is. Number 2, you need to confess it. You need to go before God and say, "God, you know what? I thought this other person's my problem. My problem is actually with you. Because you didn't give me what I think I've never thought about this, God. You didn't give me what I think they have, or what they look like, or the opportunities they have. And so, God, I'm just coming to confess before you." And you might have to confess to another person if you really mistreated them. And here's number 3. And listen, this is the key to cleansing your heart of jealousy. Okay, this is the key. Listen, you have to celebrate that other person out loud or in a tangible way. I can't even tell you how big this is when the person you identify that you're jealous of, when you begin to celebrate them to their face and out loud. "Man, that was a great idea. You look awesome. I am so glad that you got the new iPhone when I'm like 6 generations behind." I mean, you might say this. Listen, I'm telling you, when you celebrate someone else, it strips your heart of jealousy. You want to know why? Here's just a quote. "The antidote to cleanse your heart of jealousy is to celebrate who you're jealous of." This last week, I was sitting around the dinner table with my family, and I was working on this message that day, and I got my whole family together, and I said, "Listen, I want to ask all of us a question, all of us, myself included. Is there anybody in your life that you wouldn't mind getting knocked down a little bit? You wouldn't mind if they failed?" And you know what's funny? Every single one of us answered that question. It just showed me how this thing, it actually lurks more in our heart than we think. And then I gave our whole family an exercise. I said, every single one of us is doing this week. I said, you are gonna go celebrate what you're jealous of to that person, to their face. One of my daughters said, I'm out. Exactly what she said. The other one said, I'm not doing that. You know why she said, I don't know, she didn't articulate it this way, but what she was trying to say is, it wouldn't be authentic. It wouldn't be my authentic self. That's what some of you are thinking. Well, I wouldn't do it if I didn't mean it. No, that's a lie. That's an excuse to strip this out of your heart. It doesn't matter. Gosh, you gotta celebrate someone. Don't they look good? If they look good, tell them. I mean, if they had a great idea, tell them. If they got the promotion, that's awesome for them. Forget about you. Stop being so selfish. If you can celebrate someone else, I'm telling you, it strips this out of your heart. And we all did this as a family, and I'm telling you, when we got back together and talked about it, each of us would have said this. Man, it cleansed my heart. It cleansed my heart. And here's what I told my family. Remember that verse in Proverbs 14? It says this, envy rots the bones. It rots everything inside of you. I told my family, I don't want envy and jealousy to get inside of us and our family and rot us. Two chapters later in the book of Proverbs, we get the answer. It says this, gracious words, celebrating others. Gracious words are like honeycomb. Say this out loud with me. Healing to the bones. You can either have envy in your life and it rots you, or you can begin to celebrate others and it will be healing to everything in your life. Some of you, your marriages are waiting for this healing. Some of you, your kids are begging for this healing. And some of you have coworkers and other friendships that are rotting that could use some healing. What's your other option? To just keep ignoring it? To just say, well, I'm not doing that. My prayer is that you would not be able to go to bed tonight without dealing with any jealousy in your heart and beginning to identify who it is, confess it, and then go make a plan to celebrate that person to their face. Because, listen, every minute you spend wishing you had someone else's life is a minute spent wasting yours. Let's pray. Hey, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it can peel back our the layers of our heart and get deep and say, what's really behind jealousy? And Father, for many of us, it's just we're wishing we had something someone else had, and we hate to admit it, but we're a little bit jealous. I know, dealing with my own heart, I find this in my heart all the time. And I pray that we just deal with it. We wouldn't let it sit there and rot us, that we'd begin to celebrate other people. And begin to realize that, God, you uniquely made us, and we can celebrate that. But help us to celebrate how you uniquely made others, and that will heal so many of our hearts. And I pray you just bring healing. You bring healing in our church. Bring healing in marriages. Bring healing in families. Bring healing in singles. Bring healing in our students as we deal with this issue of the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.